emotionally exhausted and it's time to fix it. Our minds and spirits need emotional rest. Today, as we continue our series on whole body rest, we talk about what emotional rest is, digging into the why behind our stress and emotional burnout. We're out of balance, we stuff our feelings, we lack support, and we normalize constant stress, and it's showing. We talk about how to get the emotional recovery we need, why we need it, and why the changes we need to make to get it are worth it. Hi, I'm Becky, the host of the Girl on a Hill podcast, where we encourage you to stop hiding, start shining, and to be the woman you were created to be. You can download Girl on a Hill podcast on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Thanks for listening. And now, let's head to the hill. Hey, welcome to Girl on a Hill. I have got Crystal with me today.
Hi.
We are continuing our series on the seven types of rest.
Need some more rest. What kind do we have today?
Today, we're talking about emotional rest.
Really need this
one. I know. It's this one. I told her before. I'm like, okay, we just recorded creative rest. Like, I'm not going to lie. This one's tougher. It's hard. And I think we're emotionally exhausted people.
Yeah.
And not just you and I.
Right.
Pretty much everyone.
Right.
And I think part of it is we make withdrawals from our emotional bank all day long that we don't really think about.
Right.
Now, Ghost Giving Stones has been a great resource for this series, by the way, but she had such a relatable list. These are things I did not really think about as emotional withdrawals, but like, okay, I see this. One, your heart swells as your little one blurts out mama for the first time.
Uh-huh.
You burst with anger as your teen talks back for the 15th time today. She said that, kids, not me. Anticipation of talking to your child's teacher after the incident has your stomach doing flip-flops. Frustration consumes you as you find food wrappers and dirty dishes all over the family room.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you're experiencing a bout of loneliness as you long to have an adult conversation.
Uh-huh.
And we all have stuff like that happen every day, all the time.
Right.
We don't think about that as emotional withdrawals, but we're using up our emotional resources, constantly managing stress, conflict, and overwhelming demands, and then our capacity to care for not only ourselves, but for others diminishes because we're making all of these emotional withdrawals without putting anything back into the emotional tank. So today, for definitions, I'm going to define emotional exhaustion and then emotional rest.
Okay.
Because I think we need to understand what emotional exhaustion is before we find out how to fix it.
Okay.
So this is from healthline.com. Emotional exhaustion is a state of feeling emotionally worn out and drained as a result of accumulated stress from your personal or work lives or a combination of both.
Okay.
Emotional exhaustion is one of the signs of burnout. I think we all know about accumulated stress from personal and work put together. It's a thing. Now, for emotional rest, American Montessori Society defined it as this. Emotional rest is a type of calm one feels when they are able to be real and authentic.
Okay, nice.
Right? I can get behind that. Ideas.ted.com defined it as having the time and space to freely express your feelings and cut back on people-pleasing. We're going to get into the link there. It's been real eye-opening for me. Sacred Rest defines it as the cessation of emotional striving.
Okay.
And says you experience emotional rest when you no longer feel the need to perform or meet external expectations. And they also just define it as a deposit into your emotional bank account.
Okay.
So we're working to refill the emotional cup today. And here are some signs you need emotional rest.
Good thing I'm sitting down.
Okay. You're laughing. I mean, if you're angrier or more irritable than usual.
Okay.
Okay. Talkspace.com said this, even minor inconveniences can cause severe frustration.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been there.
Right.
It's like, why am I yelling about the why? You're quick to snap at others. This is a tough one. I mean, and I don't think people like to admit these things out loud, but I think that's also what we're going to get into, part of why we're emotionally exhausted.
Right.
Something feels wrong, but you don't know what.
Right.
Or for example, someone can go, are you okay? Mm. No. What's wrong? I don't know. Mm. I've been there.
Right.
Like, I know I don't feel fine. There's nothing like, nothing bad happened.
Nothing that you can point to.
Yeah. I don't feel right. I don't feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're feeling all the feelings all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're focusing on your failures and flaws.
Mm-hmm.
You frequently experience self-doubt or insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
You're frequently apologizing for things not requiring an apology.
Mm, we talked about that mm-hmm. recently.
You feel stuck or trapped.
Yeah.
You lack motivation. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, that I don't want to do anything feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You're procrastinating, especially when small and normal life tasks feel overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
You have depression. You have anxiety. You have fatigue. Now, while I'm mentioning a physical symptom, emotional exhaustion can also manifest as headaches and stomach issues.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not meeting deadlines, you're performing your workplace duties less efficiently. And remember that your workplace can also be your home. And you mm-hmm. just feel drained.
Right.
Okay. So, like, that's a big list that's and, like, some brutal list. Things. But I think a lot of us feel a lot of that more often than we want to say.
Right.
Now, these are a double whammy list today. These are things that are going to increase the likelihood of emotional exhaustion and your need for emotional rest. There are so many studies on this topic, mm-hmm. and I felt like it was important to include this list. Just extra warning signs so that even if you're not there yet, you can do the preventative care that we've talked about.
Okay.
If you're lacking social support,
okay,
this can be ongoing or seasonally.
Right.
If you're a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't mean a parent, even though that's on my list, but you know, you're caring for a sick mm-hmm. parent or grandparent, etc. If you're going through any kind of relationship struggles, maybe you just faced a divorce, you had a friend breakup, you're dealing with co-parenting,
mm-hmm.
you have a chronic illness,
mm-hmm.
you're suffering from grief.
Mm-hmm.
If you work too many hours, long hours, or work the weekend. I didn't want to look at you when I said that.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you do this.
I know I do.
If you're a parent, if you're working a job you dislike,
mm.
or if you don't get along with your coworkers,
mm-hmm.
if you have poor self-care, or if you have perfectionist tendencies.
Mm.
So all of those things are just going to up your risk.
Right.
So it's just good to know. It's good to know. You know, we
know that everybody falls into the category.
That's so true.
It's some more than others.
Yes.
But everybody falls into this category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did we get here? Why are we depleted?
Okay.
Okay. Crystal and I were laughing about this. Not funny, but we've been laughing about this topic in our lives for a while now. We have a poor work-life balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was literally listed on every single website.
Not proud I used of to this, study. By the way.
Well, no.
That's why we're joking about it.
Yeah.
But
at least we realize.
Had a long conversation today about how I need to solve that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Stabbed me in the heart before I even got to you telling me this.
Good job, Crystal sister. Okay. It makes so much sense, though.
Mm. Like, it does. It is a problem. I know that it's a problem, and I know that I need to fix it.
And I understand now how it's contributing to my emotional exhaustion,
mm-hmm.
because it has a lot to do with accumulated mm-hmm. stress,
right?
Which I think happens when we're not having any fun.
Oh, yeah. Fun again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to keep pushing fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm speaking at a retreat in the winter, and I'm like, that's what I'm talking about in May.
Uh-huh.
Some church wants me to talk about need for fun. Like, amen, I will preach that all day. When our life is all about the job or the tasks or the work,
right.
it's not really about living
right.
or loving or exploring or delighting or connecting or wondering.
Or anything else on that list?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's all I wrote.
All right.
And I love work. See, that's where you and I struggle. We love work.
Yeah.
Good at it.
Yeah.
I loved teaching. I love homeschooling. Mm-hmm. I love planning and podcasting. I love all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I find... this is hard too. I find joy and purpose and meaning mm-hmm. in my work.
Yeah. I think that's where the struggle is.
Yeah.
You hated your job. Be easy.
Yeah.
Be easy not to do it.
Yeah. But even God didn't work every day.
I know.
So there has to be time and space for fun.
Right.
Even if you love to work and are good at work.
Right.
and find purpose in it. Like, it can't be everything. It can't be everything. Mm-hmm. I'm learning that. I need to make space for fun right. and living and loving and wondering and all of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a big one of how we got here. And I've talked about this forever on the podcast, too. We're not getting better at it.
Right.
We're not feeling our feelings.
Right.
Stylus.co.uk very, very accurately said this. Holding on to your emotions, either to please others or simply because you feel unable to express them, requires a lot of energy.
Yeah, they do.
I hadn't even thought about that. The energy it takes to suppress everything. Repressing or holding in your emotions actually creates distress, personally.
I think you can actually get to a point where you don't even realize you're doing some of it.
That's bad. And here's the thing. They go somewhere. Mm-hmm. They're going to affect you physically. Yeah, it's like the pressure tablet, like the lid's going to fly off at some point. It's going to come out sometime. Okay, now the next one I put is we're emotionally exhausted, and we've been talking about this, but I wanted to dig into it a little bit more.
Okay.
Because emotional exhaustion sets in whenever we're dealing with long-term stress.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that stress, that, can you tell? Maybe I'm stressed this week. That doesn't resolve after a few days or after like the thing is over, the big meeting or whatever you're worried about. The Mayo Clinic says when stress begins to accumulate from negative or challenging events in life that just keep coming, you can find yourself in a state of feeling emotionally worn out and drained.
Yeah.
And I think so many of us are there. The stress is accumulating because we're not feeling our feelings, because we're not having any fun, because we lack support. And it's just, it's this cycle.
Right.
Now, here's the other part. So we're emotionally exhausted. Mm-hmm. So is everybody else.
Right.
Which is why we do not always find the emotional support we need when we do make the courageous decision to open up and share.
Right.
It's really hard to care about somebody else's feelings or problems when you're barely keeping your own head above water.
Right.
So we're all drowning, so it's harder to find solid emotional support. It's tough. It's tough when everybody in your social circle is also going through their own stuff. It makes it a lot harder.
But the thing is everybody's always going to be going through something.
It's true.
It's true. It's not like you can just wait till... Well, once this person doesn't do this or this person gets through that, it's going to be something else.
Uh-huh. So you can't keep it in.
And when these people care about you, they're going to care about the situation that's happening.
Uh-huh. And Vox.com had this idea, and I really liked it. If you are emotionally exhausted, like if you are emotionally exhausted going through struggling to care about stuff, they suggested being open and honest with your friends when you're feeling that way.
Right.
When you're emotionally exhausted, so there aren't any hurt feelings.
Oh, okay.
So let them know what you're feeling, that you're struggling, and also acknowledge that you're aware that you haven't really been there for them in the same capacity, and you want them to know you do still care about them.
Right.
Like, maybe I'm not able to respond to texts as much right now. I'm not able to get together for brunch. I totally still care. Mm-hmm. You can please still tell me things. But it's important to know because... If you're facing this big thing and your friends don't know and you just go dark, they might think, oh, they're just ghosting me. Maybe they don't like me anymore. Maybe I did something.
Right.
When really you're just keeping your feelings to yourself.
Man, we just take it to the worst part, don't we?
Yeah, always. Because we we have our own issues.
Yeah.
So you got to tell somebody. And if you're there, tell it. If you know you're there, just tell them. Mm-hmm. It's important to be honest. That's what this is about. Here's the big old fat one. We're exceeding our emotional capacity. This one hits me real hard. Sacred Rest said when our emotional withdrawals exceed our emotional capacity, we're going to experience emotional fatigue. We talk about our capacity all the time. Never thought about it in terms of my emotions. It can be real sneaky. I put here, like, you don't have to be going through a major life event to be emotionally exhausted.
No, you don't.
Or to go over your capacity. Like, it does. We think, oh, well, I'm not going through this giant. You don't have to be. here are some things that we do that draw from our capacity.
I bet that our capacity changes too.
Oh, it's shifting. Yeah. Like with life stages and seasons and days and hours. So true. But we don't honor that.
Oh, we don't.
We do not. Here are things that are pulling your capacity when you're not even thinking about it. Being an ear for somebody going through a hard time. Mm-hmm. Comforting your crying baby.
Yeah.
Helping your teenager feel their feelings.
Right.
Celebrating somebody else's win.
Right.
All that stuff drains your emotional energy and might contribute to you not having enough left for your own emotions if you're not working to replenish.
Right.
Those all take. And so if you're not doing something to fill your plate back up, you're going to run out. Mm-hmm. And we have normalized it. Mm-hmm. Now, we joke about physical exhaustion. I think we also make light of emotional exhaustion and we write it off as normal.
Right.
Like we tell ourselves the lie that this is just what adulthood is. Like
we do 100%.
I hope that like everybody is stressed. And I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Like we joke about life being a dumpster fire, but I'm fine. It's fine. Like that's not a joke.
Yeah.
Like I don't think our lives were meant to be a dumpster fire.
No,
they're not.
I don't want it to be.
I don't want it to be either. And I don't think it should be okay that everyone is stressed and angry. That's not how we're meant to live. So we need to stop normalizing that. It's not normal, even though it is. You know what I mean?
Like, I know I'm picturing this cute little dumpster with a smile on fire floating down the river.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure somebody sent me that as a meme.
Oh, I'm sure. They probably all exist. Yeah. This is a big one. We are emotionally exhausted because it requires authenticity.
Ooh, snap.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this energy it's taking.
Right? Ideas.ted.com correctly stated that emotional rest requires the courage to be authentic. An emotionally rested person can answer the question, "How are you today?" with a truthful, "I'm not okay," and then go on to share some hard things that otherwise go unsaid.
But just to go with that, not everybody is safe to say anything like that. So,
but you know,
we can't go being that honest with everybody.
True, but I think a lot of us aren't that honest with our spouse, our best friend, our mom.
Fair.
Yeah. We pretend we're okay a lot because we want to please others. We'll get into that. SacredRest.com said, "When we cease to be authentic, we dive deep into an emotional pit." I don't want to be there either. We can call it pretending. We can call it performing. We can call it changing the way we behave and interact based on who we're around. Mm. But it's exhausting.
Mm-hmm. It is exhausting.
It is exhausting. And the pretending we're okay all of the time and that front that we have it all together can actually prevent us from ever getting around to processing or working through our emotions. Mm-hmm. Because if we're all about people pleasing,
right,
then what does it matter how we really are if everyone thinks we're okay?
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm. That was so convicting for me writing down those words. Like, why do I actually need to feel or heal if everyone thinks Becky's got it all together?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That's not authentic. It's way too many of us. And way too many of us are very comfortable behind our emotional walls.
Oh, yeah. I got a whole kingdom back there. I don't know what the problem is.
It's so bad. I've gone through periods of life where I've built those walls with purpose and vigor. Mm-hmm. Like I was bricklaying day and night. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have tricked myself into thinking that making myself hard and stoic keeps me safe from the uncomfortable feelings. But they didn't really go away.
Stop.
But we think putting up that wall is going to keep me from feeling sad. I still felt sad. Just now I was behind a wall.
All alone.
Mm-hmm. Unable to see any good in the world. Huh. We got to knock our walls down.
This is a sad topic.
I know. Here. I told you it was hard. I told you. But we got it. We got to fix it.
Okay.
We got to fix it.
I know. You're going to make it better. You're gonna I will make it better.
I'm not. Okay. Last one.
I'm not feeling it yet.
No. The last time we get here and why we're so depleted is because we have been taught to keep your emotions to yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Most of us were actually taught that. some of us were probably told this as kids explicitly, or it was just unspoken rule that you just understood in mm-hmm. your house. Mm-hmm. You have your feelings in your room.
Yeah.
Or no one likes a girl who cries. Or, you know, laughs too loud or speaks up and shares their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody in your life has a problem, sometimes we respond by being annoyed. We're like, oh, now I have to deal with your issue. Like, why are you bothering me with your big feelings? Don't you know that's something you're just supposed to ignore or stuff? You know, when you have enough people react to you that way, you learn, oh, I shut up and keep it to myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's rough. Some of us, we've just carried that.
On and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Add to it.
Want to know why we need this? Why we need the rest?
Okay.
One, it's critical for stress recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Just that concept, stress recovery, sounds magical.
Yeah.
Sign me up. Stylist.com, of all places, said emotional rest helps us feel more positive, refreshed, and resilient. Mm-hmm. And emotional rest can help us to better manage our emotions and respond more effectively to challenging situations.
All right.
I know. It's also critical for clarity and focus.
Mm-hmm.
This I hadn't thought about, but when our emotions are in overdrive, it can be challenging to think clearly, make rational decisions, and stay focused.
Yeah.
And when we are emotionally rested, we're able to connect with other people in a kinder, more loving, more empathetic way.
Right.
We're better people.
Mm-hmm. Better friends.
Yes.
Better family.
Yes. Now you want to know how to get it.
I do. I've been waiting for this.
This is where it gets a little happier.
Okay.
A little like, okay, I can fix this. I'm feeling it. Okay. I love my first one. I started out with a really good one. Now, think about your day in thirds, the morning, the afternoon, and the evening.
Okay.
Now, build a small moment that is just for you into each third of your day.
Ooh, that's hard.
Some ideas were, take your coffee out onto the porch and enjoy 10 minutes of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
If you have downtime in the afternoon, like a nap or a homeschool recess, we talked about this in the last one, don't always make it productive.
Mm-hmm.
I would, my example is now, on homeschool recess, I'll go walk a mile real quick.
Right.
When my kids were napping still, oh, I miss those days. I like binge watch shows. I, you know, motored through Felicity and Mad Men and just, uh-huh. I needed it.
Yeah.
But I feel like we don't cut ourselves the break. Or, you know, we turn on in our house in the evenings, we turn on jazz and read after dinner. Like they're very small, very doable things.
Mm-hmm.
But where it's just for me. Right. I'm not really benefiting anybody else but me.
Well, you don't know that.
True. Maybe my kids might be seeing a good example.
Right.
But I think we don't give ourselves permission to one, do anything for ourselves.
Right.
Or to take 5 minutes to do something enjoyable.
Right.
But just, I love that the idea of just a small thing in each third of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be totally small.
Right.
I love it. Okay. Do a non-work, I wrote that in all caps, a non-work activity. Now, one, remember that parenting is work too.
Of course it is.
Now, one site I studied said to do something where you're not responsible for anyone or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like I can write the podcast without my kids, like where I'm not responsible for other people, but it's still a responsibility. I'm still responsible for something.
Mm-hmm.
So just do something where you're not managing anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting something done for work. You're just, I hate that we have to tell people to do this because we suck at it.
Like, we do suck at it.
We do.
I suck at it.
I do too. Like, do something for fun.
Like, I can't even figure out how to build in a small step in the afternoon at all right now.
Right?
Like, I'm still stuck like, on that step.
In my afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to figure that out.
I know.
Yeah. Even if it's you take, you don't drink coffee.
I don't.
You take your Coke.
I'm not drinking Coke.
Okay, you take your water onto the like,
now we've just made
sidewalk
this so
at work.
So sad.
I'll come up with something. Okay. But I think it's just so important. We need to make fun. Mm-hmm. Life can't be about work. And like I said, please don't make every break you have from your children or your job productive.
Right.
And it's okay to listen to podcasts that aren't learning or to read books that aren't learning.
Like, right.
It's okay to escapism. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's healthy for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if you were listening last week, I said we would talk about this today.
Okay.
So here it is. Ways to get it. Recognize your drains.
Okay.
Okay. Harvard Business Review said the first step in reducing emotional resource consumption, there's a term, uh-huh. is recognizing the circumstances, situations, tasks, relationships, that deplete you mm-hmm. and then limiting your exposure to them.
Okay.
Okay.
But now, people deplete me.
Oh, yeah.
I have to be around people all day long. Help me, Harvard. Help me.
Right? Okay. That's my second point. I will get there. My first example, I'll start for one. Like, one thing that was really depleting me was, like, drama-filled community forums.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
On social media. Uh-huh. And for whatever reason, I couldn't stop myself from just, like, reading the drama. And then all those community neighborhood forums are just people complaining about stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just been about, like, 2 or 3 weeks of hiding that group, and it's like, oh, I feel happier and lighter. I'm limiting my exposure. Like, I don't need to read you complaining. No. Okay, now, sometimes, here we go. People or groups of people are the drain. Mm-hmm. Now, you can ask yourself, in what direction are my emotions being influenced when I'm around someone else? Mm-hmm. So if you're not sure this is when you don't know, like if it's somebody at work. But if you can tell, if you sit down and you're like, I was in a good mood until I got to work. Like, oh, maybe it's mm-hmm. my coworker. That's a drain. Right. Now, in that step, you can't exactly, obviously, you can't always fire all of your coworkers or put up the peachy like in elementary school to keep them from looking at you. But sometimes you know, every 80s kid out there is like,
I know that peachy.
No, I said the word peachy to my kids the other day, and they had no clue. Huh. They're like peachios, like the candy. I'm like, no, it's a folder. Why didn't you say folder?
Because it's a peachy.
It's a peachy. Anyway, but you can sometimes, there when you're around people that drain you, you can limit your contact when you're available. Right. There used to be someone who I would just find a different route to walk. Uh-huh. Avoid them as best I could, or if they wanted to dive into their diatribe about how life blew, just quick answers. You don't indulge the line of talking,
right?
You know what I mean? It is harder when it's people, when you can't get away from them.
It's just people in general.
Well, then I make time for yourself.
I gotta people too much.
Yeah. Pay close attention to your feelings around different people and in different settings, and also notice like, who is it that drains you, but also who refreshes you?
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that more when we talk about social rest.
Okay.
But because everybody needs people in their life who refresh them. Right. It's important to have some people that bring you joy. Okay, now here's where you're really going to start to recognize your drains. I did this personally, so I'm not asking you to do something I didn't do, and it was very eye-opening. And it caused me to actually make some major life changes.
Okay.
This advice I'm about to give you was in every article I read, that the biggest key to reducing emotional exhaustion was to reduce your stress.
Okay.
Now that sounds easier said than done. Yeah, like if we could do that. So what I want you to do is make a list of your stressors. Mm-hmm. Like literally pull out a piece of paper.
From your peachy.
Yeah. And literally write down every single thing that stresses you out.
Okay.
Like make the list. It might surprise you. And you are going to learn from it. I filled a whole page in less than 5 minutes. Uh-huh. Okay, one, here's some insights I took away. I hadn't realized it was that bad.
Right.
I hadn't realized so much stressed me out. Another eye-opening thing for me was how many of my stressors, yes, involved other people.
Right.
So seeing that pointed me towards the way that where I can personally reduce my stress is by spending time alone. Mm-hmm. And that's just one example for me. So make your list and then give it real thought and see what you learn from it. See what dots you can connect or how do these things all point to habits I can change. Okay. Now, here's the most important thing. Once you've made your list of stressors and analyzed it, then you are on the hook to make changes to the things you can. As soon as I made my list, like literally that same day, a few of the stressors popped up as opportunities. And I had to choose not to participate, like not to engage. I had to choose to say no. Where I had written down, yes, this particular thing stresses me out. And then immediately got an email asking if I wanted to do this thing. Like, I would normally say yes because I'm a people pleaser. I was on the hook, though. Like, you just said this stressed you. You know you don't want stress in your life. You have to say no.
Yeah.
It's hard. If you want this, you got to make changes.
Right.
That's the thing. Keep doing the same thing. You're going to get what you've always got.
Right.
Here we go. How to get it. Number whatever we're on. Honor your boundaries.
Tough.
It is tough.
Worth it.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to decide that your mental health and your peace and calm is more important than people pleasing. Mm-hmm. Because that's usually what boundary breaking comes down to.
Right.
That's why we break the boundaries, to be pleasing. What's more important to you? That this person likes you or that you feel mentally stable?
Right.
I'm done.
A person that you probably don't even really like.
Exactly. I would personally, I'm at a place in my life I would like to feel mentally stable and calm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm done. Reframe the stress. This is the last one. I liked this one. This is also from the Harvard Business Review. Reframing what you experience and changing how you think about what's happening conserves your emotional energy. So gain some perspective. Think about the larger context. Like, is this normal? Is this something everybody goes through? Uh-huh. I was thinking, and I was hoping Jolene would be here today because sometimes you get upset, like if your kid is struggling to go down for a nap.
Right.
And it's easy if you think, well, this is just happening to me and I must be a terrible mom. Or you can be like, no. Actually, this is something all moms go through.
Yeah.
So it is not just me. This is just a normal thing that happens. And then that can help. You don't feel as defeated. And you don't have to waste energy on feeling less than. So I like that. And then, I mean, everyone asks, tells you to do this, and it feels cliche, but ask yourself, will this matter in 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 months, 5 years? In the moment, sometimes it feels like, yes, it's going to matter for the rest of your life.
Right.
Probably won't.
No.
Okay. Here's some truths.
Okay. I need truth.
Oh, this one has seriously been the biggest eye-opener force of change in my life lately, is that emotional exhaustion is linked to people pleasing.
Yeah.
I have not, it's just been amazing to realize how people pleasing has driven my life.
I hate it.
I'm done. I want to be done. LinkedIn, of all places, said constantly prioritizing others' needs and emotions takes a toll on people pleasers' emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. They often find themselves absorbing and internalizing the stress, concerns, and demands of those around them. This emotional labor can be draining and contribute to burnout over time.
Right.
I know all about absorbing other people's stress and feelings.
Right.
I said this, and this hurts, but when your life is about making and keeping other people happy, we don't get to be.
Right.
It's rough. You're constantly laying aside how you feel or neglecting what you need. And it's important to note that's not like out of a sacrificial love. It's when you're doing it out of a need to please and be pleasing.
Right.
We tell ourselves it's the other thing, but it's not. Here's another truth. It's okay to have big feelings.
Right.
Sometimes
we all do.
Yeah. But I think that's part of we build the wall or we hide it or we don't be authentic. We don't even tell our spouse that we're going through this thing.
Right.
Because we feel ashamed.
Right.
I feel ashamed that I can't handle this, or I shouldn't be crying about this, or I shouldn't be mad about that. It's okay.
Right.
You do not have to hide or be ashamed of your feelings.
No.
At all, ever. Who you are around matters. Mm-hmm. If you like science, go look up emotional contagion theory.
Interesting.
It is fascinating. But emotions, scientifically proven, are contagious. Mm-hmm. And the people you are around are sharing their emotional germs, so to speak. Uh-huh. It matters a super lot. There are mirror neurons where if someone is smiling real big, you're going to smile. You ever notice like when someone in a room, even if they're telling a story about something you don't really care about, starts crying? Almost everyone in the room is crying. Yeah. It's mirror neurons. It's catching. Like with illness, the more apparent the symptoms, the more likely it is you'll catch it. So the bigger the emotional display, the more likely it is you're going to mimic them. So there are studies, too, that show, and I have told David this a whole lot as a parent. I feel it, that your happiness is often in correlation to how happy the people you spend time with are.
Right.
Said it before, like you're only as happy as your least happy child.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and so this truth can be great if you are spending time with happy, positive people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so great if you're around fear-mongering right. Debbie Downers. Mm-hmm. It's catching.
Right.
I don't think we think about how influential.
We can all probably think of situations. I mean, I think of situations where it took me a little bit to figure out. I'm like, nothing has gone wrong. Why am I in a bad mood? And then I realize, but it's going to go the same way. And we probably have just thought, oh, we had a great day. But it's actually just because we were around people that are just a little bit happier. And that we enjoy spending time with. Mm-hmm. So it is. Like, I can think of, I mean, lots of situations where I've never even thought about it. I just thought that it was a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably is, like, they're happy, I'm happy, so it just going to continue the cycle.
Yeah.
I want happiness.
I do, too.
Fun and happiness, Becky.
I know. Same. We got to do something.
Yeah.
So who you're around matters.
Yeah.
Don't hang around the drains on purpose if you can help it. Okay. Last truth. Big one. Vulnerability is worth it.
Okay.
Now, as I was studying, I came across an article from youaline.com and it made me stop and think about myself. And I was floored at the truth hidden behind this simple statement.
Okay.
Many of us carry our emotional labor privately. In that we don't share what we are truly feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me think, like, how often are we sharing how we're truly feeling, even with the people closest to us? Because like you said, vulnerability is not transparency.
No.
But everybody needs 1 to 3 people that they can open up to and share the real with.
Right.
But how often am I keeping that stuff, even from you guys, from David, from my family? Like, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. I think a lot of us carry our emotional labor privately.
Right. Until it gets too heavy. It's ridiculous how long it takes of like, oh, maybe I should actually say something about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moment you do, it's like, oh, it feels
so better. It is. Yeah. Even we've said that so many times. You just send a text like, I am on the struggle bus today. Yeah. You're like, oh, I think it'll be okay now.
Yeah. Where nothing has changed.
No, nothing. Just the shame thrives in the dark. But
yeah, it does.
At the heart of emotional exhaustion, here it is, maybe, is the tendency to hold in your emotions and to ignore them, to bury them, to overthink the situations causing the emotions endlessly without working through anything or making progress towards healing.
Sounds like we have experience with
this. I know. It was from an article. It was not my life.
From an article, for sure.
Yeah. But I guess it's super scary to tell somebody that you're feeling something big.
Yeah.
Especially if it's because we're so ashamed of our emotions.
Yeah.
If we're overwhelmed or sad or angry and we've been told we're supposed to suck it up and deal like.
Right. Rub some dirt in it.
Yes. It's okay. But like.
We all have these feelings.
Yes. And every single one of us would tell you it's worth it and it helps.
Right.
It is darn scary, but. If they love you, they're not going to shame you.
Right.
Well, you shouldn't be feeling. Never once have any of us ever said that.
No.
How dare you be upset about that?
Right.
No. It's worth it. Yeah. You got to tell somebody. Doesn't have to be everybody. It shouldn't be everybody.
It shouldn't be everybody. But
tell somebody that loves you. That's a safe person.
Right.
Okay. Now, I found a Jesus example.
I knew you would.
I haven't finished. I haven't written the whole series. I had to leave my house at 3 today, and I was still writing this at 2:15. So I have not worked ahead. I don't know if I can do it for all of them, but I found it for this. So Jesus, again, ultimate example in life. And Jesus showed his emotion.
Yeah.
And not just in solitude.
Yeah. Right.
He openly showed his emotion. Right. So I have examples.
Uh-huh.
He wept when Lazarus died.
Yep.
He also wept over Jerusalem right before the events of the crucifixion were to take place. And he was on the road in public. So he could be seen. I mean, obviously someone saw him. Jesus expressed anger.
Right.
I mean, he was a table flipper. Yeah, first table flipper.
verse one.
Right, well, maybe not. You know, he got frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes with the Pharisees, sometimes with the disciples.
Right.
I actually really love, as I was studying, I found that in Mark 8, it mentions that he deep sighed. Like, we joke about that in our house all the time. Like, oh, we made Daddy deep sigh. Like, like you can just picture him sighing, and his disciples like, come on, guys.
We've been through this how many times?
Do you know how much better that made me feel? That, like, he deep sighed. That means he was frustrated. That means he was like, this is ridiculous.
Right.
Okay. In Luke 10, Jesus was full of joy after the 72. You don't know. He had the 12 disciples, and then he had a bigger group of 72. And they had just come back from a mission, and he rejoiced, and he thanked God for the way he had revealed the truth to them and was using them. And then in his most stressful, anguishing, gut-wrenching moments in the Garden of Gethsemane in the hours prior to his crucifixion, he didn't go by himself.
Right.
He brought his friends.
Right.
Now, granted, they were not an emotional support system. Because
they were sleeping. Yeah,
they fell asleep. But he brought them.
Yeah.
And Even though he was going through stress, we'll never understand.
No.
But he didn't. I think most of us, even, you know, if we're stressed to the point of sweating blood,
right,
we would probably do that privately. That would be our inclination. Like, I better hide this.
Right.
But no, he brought people to be with him, to feel. Right. So if Jesus.
And the point on that one, Becky, is that we know words that he was praying. So therefore, they would have been, it was.
Yeah.
People were there and they heard. Mm-hmm. So they witnessed the whole thing, not just like something's going on over there. Yeah,
Jesus doesn't seem okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a full range of emotions publicly.
Right.
Not just private. We know he felt them privately too.
Of course.
But publicly, it was okay for him to have emotions in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jesus couldn't not only experienced all the human emotions, but expressed them, that means you can too.
Right.
So I want you to know today it's okay to feel upset.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to cry.
Right.
It's okay to be frustrated. Mm-hmm. It's okay to need space. It's okay to rejoice, like in a public, loud voice, booming laughter.
Right.
Like, it is okay. You get to feel, and you need to. So knock down your walls.
Yep.
Tell somebody.
We don't need those walls. We do need people.
Even us introverts.
Mm-hmm.
Tell somebody when you're feeling something. Make that list.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're on the hook for making the changes.
Right.
Delete the stress you can delete. And yeah, know that it's okay.
Right.
It's okay. Stop exceeding your emotional capacity. It's okay to deal with your emotions too. Not just everyone else's.
We actually need to.
Yeah. If you're a people pleaser, well, like, you're a people. Let's do something about that.
Right.
All right. We are going to be back with you next week to dig into mental rest.
Okay.
I need that one too.
Yeah.
All right. See you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Girl on a Hill podcast. Please help us out by sharing the podcast with your friends, connecting with us on social media, and leaving a review on Apple Podcast. We're here to climb the hill with you as we all work to stop hiding, start shining, and be the women we were created to be. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.